Parshas Lech Lecha. So, Rosh Hashanah Shlita mentions the common expression, the wandering Jew, so to speak. And he says that this is where we get it from. As HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Abraham, Lech Lecha. Lech, to go. Wander from place to place, that's for you. As we see in all the generations, with all the wanderings of the Yidden, like the Gemara says, one of the reasons to attach true Geirim, the world, to learn from the Yid, the way to live, the most beautiful way, Hashem's way, as he told us in the Torah. And he also says that we have to ask a question. Why is this considered one of the nisyonos of Avram, one of the tests that Hashem gave Avraham? If Hashem would tell you, I give you the greatest blessings, you just have to move out of town, no matter where it would be, wouldn't you think that surely you would accept it and go wherever he said? So Reb Moshe Zatzal gives a beautiful explanation. He says that the test was for Avraham Avinu, why couldn't Hashem, who was capable of everything, just give all the brachas where he is now? Why would he have to leave his homeland, his successful yeshiva, as we see later on in the Pasuk Hey, Es HaNefesh Asher Asu V'Charon, as Rashi brings from Chazal, the converts that they made? So he has a successful yeshiva. In general, as they say, if it's not broken, don't fix it. If you have hatzlacha, stay where you are. So that was the test of Avraham Avinu. He didn't ask questions. He knew that if Hashem is telling him this, Hashem knows what's best, and he will have even more success, surely, if Hashem is telling him to leave. And therefore, without asking questions, he accepted this offer of Hashem. Another point which the Baal HaTurim brings, an interesting gematria, Lech Lecha is a gematria of 100. Baal HaTurim mentions that from this time, when Avraham Avinu was 75 years old, he had 100 more years to live. As we know, he died 175. I would think another pshat we can give for the 100 simen of Lech Lecha is to tell us that it was at that 100 years old, when he gave birth to Yitzchak Avinu, that he was fulfilled with his goal of having future generations. That was so much of an ikar to Avraham Avinu, as we know. It didn't matter as far as the grand picture whether or not so much that he himself was successful. The greatest good is when you have future generations to keep up the Torah way of life, that it doesn't, chas v'shalom, end with you. As Avraham Avinu says later on in this parasha also, Mati ten li v'anochi olech hariri, if I go childless. That's not enough, Hashem, that just with me it should, so to speak, chas v'shalom, end. The goal is to keep up the future of the Klal Yisrael, the Torah, Hashem's Rotzon, Shleimus. Also, we see in Pasuk Beis, with the brachas that Hashem gives, he also says, Ve'yei bracha. It begins by saying, Ve'ezcha l'goy godo v'avarecha v'agad lo shemecha, Ve'yei bracha. So, l'chayra, if Hashem already said, V'avarecha, I will bless you, what does it mean at the end, Ve'yei bracha? So Rashi gives one explanation, and Rosh Hashiva Shlita offers another explanation. And he says that what Hashem is adding by saying the Yei Bracha, that it will be a bracha that lasts forever. A person can get a bracha, wealth, no matter what it is, but it doesn't last. Not only doesn't it last, it becomes a klala. And that's what Hashem is saying here. In a similar fashion, the Moshe Tzatzal gives pshat in the Birchas Kohanim. Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. What's the point of yishmerecha? According to what we just said, the same kind of pshat, that not only is it important to give the bracha, but to give a lasting bracha, and a bracha that should be always a bracha. As we know, wealth, or whatever it might be, can be the biggest quality for a person. Point is that it should always remain a true bracha. And in Pasuk, hey, there's an interesting expression. It says, Vayetzu l'leches arzu kanan v'yavoh arzu kanan. Seems like a double lashon. Of course we know that they went out to go to Canaan. As we see, Ayaboah to Canaan. So it really just had to say that he went out and came to the land of Canaan. Now Valpit Tzatzal gives a gorgeous explanation in this expression that the Pasuk uses. He's saying what the Torah is teaching us is the contrast between the goals of a Rosh and the goals of a Tzaddik. In last week's Parsha, the Pasuk before the last, it says also a similar Lashon, the Terach, when he went out, Leches Arzu Kanan, and what does it say? Vayavo Ad Choron, Vayeshu Shom. He only made it though to Choron, and that's where they lived. A Rasha, he had good intention going to Eretz Yisrael, but he got sidetracked along the way. The enticements that enticed him when he came to Charan was enough to veer him away from going to Eretz Yisrael. Whereas Avraham Avinu, he set his goal to go to the best place for him, Eretz Canaan. And no matter what happened along the way, it would not veer him off course. He went out to go to Eretz Canaan, and he fulfilled that goal of going. No matter what kind of blandishments and other enticements of the Yetzer Hara he might find along the way, Times Square, Chas V'Shalom, whatever it might be that we all know about, did not steer him away from the goal of going to where he should go to fulfill the will of Hashem. And it then mentions that when he gets to Eretz Yisrael, there's a famine, and he has to leave Eretz Yisrael and go to Mitzrayim. And in Pasuk Yud Alef it says the Lashon Vayihi Kasher Ekriv Lavo Mitzrayim. And it was when he came near to enter Mitzrayim. B'chara, why do you need the words kashe hikre? Because it said B'chara just vayihi when he came to enter Mitzrayim. What's the lashon? Hikriv. So the Rosh Hashiva Shlita gives a pshat that we find a similar lashon by Paro, Melech Mitzrayim in Beshalach, when he's going to chase after the Bnei Yisrael after they left Mitzrayim already by the Yamsuf. There's also a lashon Hikriv. And that is a lashon that the person is working on himself to come near. He has to work on himself to do the act which he is doing now. There, of course, Paro has to work on himself to chase after them, because don't forget, he had the experience of the Makos in the time already. So we've seen what kind of Meshugana would go now and chase after the people that they had all that trouble with. So we had to work on that point and to make his Yetzer Hara win out. Whereas here, it's just the opposite. Yeah. Avraham Avinu was working on a certain Yetzer Hara not to be influenced. On the Madrega of Avraham Avinu, which was what? That when he had to now leave Eretz Yisrael, does he say good riddance? Does he say, look, there's a famine, okay, I gotta go out, and poof, he goes out? No. Avraham Avinu, he had to make sure, leave no stone unturned, so to speak, till he knew for sure that it was a sakana, and there was no other way, because he's not allowed to rely on a miracle, except to leave Eretz Yisrael. Not that he was happy about it and took it for granted. No, he knew this was the best place. And if there comes some tsar with it, that doesn't mean it's still not the best place. But from tsar to Agra. Therefore, he had to work on himself till he made sure that this is what he had to do. And when he coming to Mitzrayim, as we see, he asked Sarah Imenu that she should say that he is her sister. And in order that they give him presents and keep him alive. So we have to understand why would Avraham Avinu, who refused the gifts offered by Melech Sodom after winning the war against those kings, Nimrod and the others, and now Adarabha is looking to get gifts from Paro. So I would say, Lanias Daiti, that it would be the pshat that what Avraham Avinu is doing here is Adarabha. Here he has the Paro, that is, pay through the nose, so to speak, for taking a woman against her will. As he tells Abimelech another time, what is it that you ask about this woman? Is it related to you, whatever it is, in what way? It is not the proper way. And therefore, doing something like that, it is every right that there is to be, so to speak, fined and punished in any court of law for what that person does. So that's the point of Avraham Avinu here. Whereas Melech Sodom, of course, you could say he had a right, because to the victor goes the spoils, but to make the Kiddush Hashem. Melech Sodom was a Rasha, but he didn't do at this point anything wrong to Avraham Avinu, so he didn't have to be punished, so to speak, by Avraham Avinu for what he's doing. In fact, he's making a nice offer. But Avraham Avinu, to make a Kiddush Hashem, there's no reason. People would see that, they say, so he took something for himself. The Madrega of Avraham Avinu, that it shouldn't become Chas Hashem Nachil Hashem, as he says, he knows the Melech Sodom, Ani Esharti Es Avraham, I made Avraham Avinu rich, he'll proclaim. No, he doesn't need any of his money. Hashem takes care of him. Not only that, but you see, really, at the end of Parshas Chayisara, Rashi in fact brings the Medrash there, that he really had never any hanoya from these gifts. Which shows even more so the reason that I gave before. He himself never benefited. And we have to also understand why does Avraham Avinu put the giving of the gifts before his life? You would think that he would ask Sarah to say that she's his sister first, because just to save his life, of course, and then because of the gifts. But he reverses it. So it would seem, according to what I gave the explanation, that we could put that here also. That's the reason here too. This teaching a lesson, the Torah way, was wrong. That's the reason for the gifts. That he deserves this punishment, paro. That's fulfilling the will of Hashem, living the Torah life. And that's what Avraham Avinu was teaching us. To save his life is not good within itself unless you're living the life of Torah. That's what comes first. And that's what Avraham Avinu was showing us. Living the life of Torah, and that's the ikar. I'm doing the right thing and asking you to say you're my sister because of this beautiful reasoning. That's the only reason for anyone living at any time, when he's fulfilling the Torah way of life. And in Pasuk Yud it says, and Lot chose to go to Sodom. But an interesting expression used is, Lefnei Shacheis Hashem Sodom v'Samora, before Hashem destroyed these cities. Why is the Pasuk telling us that? We know, of course, from later on, we see that this is at a point before the destruction. So the Kol Dodi gives the explanation that the Pasuk is teaching us. Many times the Rishayim themselves see it clearly, what's up ahead, the results of their sinning. As Lot saw here also, he knew that choosing to live here, this is where they're headed, and they will definitely be destroyed. He understood that. Schar Avera Avera, Schar Mitzvah Mitzvah. But what, as many Rishayim have the problem, and we all have to deal with that Yetzer Hara, even Tzadikim, the enticement that this instant gratification, the benefits of now, outweigh the eternal benefits of doing good. Not willing to wait, to have patience, savlonut, as we say. And that's what the Torah is teaching. Learn from here. Learn from the mistake of love. It's not worth it. As the Mishnah Navos says, that one has to think and analyze, have a mechashev hefsed mitzvah keneged zchora u'schar avera keneged hefsedo. Understand that the temporary giving up of a transitory benefit is not worth the eternal reward of a mitzvah, and the temporary benefit of an avera is not worth at all the terrible loss in its action. And you have, when Avraham Avinu battles the kings, it says before, as we know, Og Melech HaBoshen told it to him that they captured his nephew. And it says in Pasuk Yud Gimel, in Perek Yud Dalet, Hayavu Apolit Vayageid LaAvram HaIvri. First time that he's mentioning HaIvri here. So the Rosh Hashiva Shlita explains that why is it mentioned here? As we know, the Medrash says, one shot in why it was called the Ivri, from Aver, the side, like you have a river, for instance, one side here, one side on the other side. Same thing here, as far as the world, so to speak, being the river, Avraham Avinu was on this side and everyone else was on the other side. He was following Hashem and all the rest of them were going away from Hashem. And that's very apropos here, because this is exactly what was going on here. Nimrod and his cohorts, they were on the other side. And as we see from the Medrash, there was part of the reasoning of Nimrod hoping to get Avraham Avinu this time, not like in Ur Kasdim he failed, but this time finishing him off. Because don't forget, the tzaddik in the eyes of the Rasha is his conscience. He doesn't like that. It's his mutzer, living mutzer example. And he tries to get rid of him. So this was the bait, so to speak, they were hoping Avram would take. Of course he did, but being Never Hashem, and doing the right thing, he came out the victor. They were the losers. And it mentions in Pasuk Yudalid, the Yerdof Adon, chased them to Don. And this night, the night of Pesach, was reserved for special miracles. The first half, for now, with Avraham Avinu against these Malachim, throwing dirt and they turning to arrows, for instance. But from midnight onwards was for the other half of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Makas Bechorah. And Rosh Hashiva says there's a hint to it in the right here, Ad Don. The rest will happen until Don, which we have in this week's Parsha by the Bris Bein Absurdim, where the Eibishter tells Avram also that what? The Gamis HaGoya SheYavodu Don Anochi. They will also be judged, and that judgment, punishment will be executed against them. There are those who learn, as Rashi brings down, Perek Tes Vav, Pasuk Vav, it says, "Behem in Ba'Hashem," when Hashem told him he would have children, didn't question, ask for any sign. But when Hashem told him about the Yushet Eretz Yisrael, he asked for a sign. So the Rosh Hashiva Shlita keeps pshat that Avram's reasoning in the chilek between asking a sign for Eretz Yisrael was that as far as he himself is concerned and having children, toli bischuso, so a person has the chira and he feels he will choose to do the right thing always, and therefore he doesn't need a sign. But for future generations, to make sure. And who is to say that their decision, and as a people as a whole, every single one, to be sure that they will always be tzaddikim? Therefore, he asked for an oath there. He wanted to make certain that they would always have Eretz Yisrael to be in the most holiest place. In the next parak, Sarah, after not having children, offers her maidservant Hagar to Avraham Avinu to take for a wife. And we see that in order for her to have children, in the merit of, so to speak, giving her rival to her husband, voluntarily initiating it, she felt it would get her the schus of having the children. And Rosh Hashiva Shlita points out in Paparoros, Altaria, and Sefer, that Hagar is a gematria of 208, and Yitzchak is 208. One was totally, but the other is Schar Dis Mitzvah. And we have a similar thing actually by Rachel. When she gives over her maidservant, she uses a similar lashon. She adds also that she will bring up the child. And b'schus zeh, she would also be bane. Be bane gam anochi mimeno. And Rashi, and the Shiva Shlita points out a very interesting thing. We notice that many times people don't have children for many, many years. Or Hashem, now we have fertility clinics, doctors. But we see also an interesting phenomenon that when they take a foster child, when adopting the child, that very soon afterwards, many times, they have a child. And we could say mida keneged mida, but this selflessness of bringing up a child that's not your own biologically, you merit that biological child. And Rosh Hashiva says we could see it from Rachel Imenu, Yibana gam anochi mimena, through bringing up a child that's not yours biologically, you have children of your own biologically. But I should also mention a very beautiful medrash for those who don't have their own biological children. And of course, like we know, Rebbe, his students, are like his children in the most beautiful way, of course, bringing them the Olam Haba, more important than a biological bringing into the world, the Ruchnius bringing into the world, to do the will of Hashem, that's more important. And the Medrash says the following: who is the true father, the one who biologically is the father, or the one who spiritually is the father, who brings up the child in the way of the Torah, the way Hashem wants? And it answers, that is the true father, in the truest sense. Of course, Baruch Hashem, in general, we hope and see that the biological father would also be the Ruchnius. But that is the Ikka, and that's a reinforcement and encouragement for all those who, Rahman al-Islam, have not had that of having children biologically. This Hedra ends, of course, with the Bris Mila, which was also, as we know, a trial of Avraham Avinu. And we have to understand, what exactly was a trial? And as we know from the Midrashim, the Gemara is the Yetzer that he went to ask his friends on the Eshkol Mamre. And of course, Mamre advises him to, of course, do the Bris Milah. So Rosh Hashanah explains beautifully that the trial was that Avraham Avinu felt that now he has success with all the converts and people following his example and his teachings to follow the will of Hashem, because he's no different than they are. But he thought that maybe by doing a Bris Milah they'll say, "Ah, that's from Avraham Avinu. You hear what he has to say, but you have to be special. You have to do a Bris Milah like Avraham Avinu." But Mamre told him, "Don't go into Cheshbonos. Hashem, whatever reasons, he knows better. And he knows if you follow him, you'll have the greatest success no matter what." And that's what happened. May we always do exactly the will of Hashem. Tamid mi'atah yad olam.